Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to Words to Ponder Radio Show, your place for motivation, inspiration, and life-enhancing teachings with your host, Florenza Denise Lee, narrative coach and children's book author. During this hour, Florenza asks the question, what's your story? Allowing her guests to share them all for God's glory. Knowing that your time is precious, we thank you for spending it here with us. We air live every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Florenza has an amazing guest speaker lined up for you tonight. So sit back, relax, and prepare to be blessed here on Words to Ponder Radio Show. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Words to Ponder Radio Show. You guys know I get so caught up in anything that I play that's jazz-related. I'm just sitting here listening as if I am not the host of the show. So you guys got just a little bit more of JK than I normally play at the beginning of the hour. And for those, if this is your first time joining us, that musician is called JK, just the initials JK, and the cut of that song, the name of that cut is Say Love. He only has one CD, and it is my all-time favorite jazz CD, so anytime I have an opportunity to play it, I just pop that song right on in. If you are looking for just a fantastic jazz song, CD, just get it. Just go online and find it. It's easy to find. If you can't, just hit me up and I will find it for you and send you the link. It is just an absolutely amazing, just a nice CD. So even before I get started with our normal radio show activities, I want to pause and say thank you to every single person that worked towards our book festival, for all the amazing authors who came out, for their helpers, for our volunteers, for Reach, to our sponsors, Geico, Atlantic Bay, We have Black Gold Publishing as a sponsor. We have Mr. Rogers Anderson Windows. We also had two of my companies as sponsors, Clear Choice Coaching Solutions, as well as Words to Ponder Publishing Company. Both were sponsors of the event, and it was absolutely amazing. There was just some difficulty with GPS not playing nicely with getting everyone to the location. We did, in fact, leave the secondary address there so people could find it, and it was just really a good time. We had a puppet ministry there, and I do not see in front of me their card to get their exact name, but I will most definitely post that on Facebook. They were fantastic. They stole the show. We had Lori Stir there and her crew doing face painting and balloon art. We had Gary there. He was the magician, and he brought Helen, his talking bird, who was so beautiful but very mean. She did not want to be touched. She was gorgeous to look at. We had all sorts of activities, rock painting and coloring sheets and posters, and Reach donated free books to the children. It was just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful event. We are already planning for 2020. We are entitling that one Books, Music, and More. We are looking to have 200 author vendors. Yes, you heard that correctly, 200. And we have just about 152, I think, that have expressed an interest. As of this moment, we are looking at having it at the Virginia Beach Field House. We've not yet signed the contracts for that, but we are hoping to get that done this week. So at the time of this show airing, we are looking at it being the Virginia Beach Field House. I went over there, and it's not fancy-dancy, but I just like the feel of it. It just felt like a place you could have fun. And that's what I want for this event. We looked at some other locations, and they were kind of stuffy. I don't want stuffy. I want us to have fun. We're going to get some wiggle room this time, but we also want to have fun. So please keep an eye out for that. Also, I announced to the authors who were present Saturday that we are also in the process of planning a spring gala for 2020. And if you don't know what a gala is, just think of an adult prom. But we're going to 2.0 that puppy. We're just going to go all out for you all. And so we will be getting information regarding that as well. The last thing that I want to announce to everyone here in the 757 is that we are starting our book club up again. And if you've had an opportunity to be in either one of them, you know that this is just an amazing event that we do. It's an 8-week session. This time we are doing quite a unique book. It caught my eye. And, you know, the title just caught me. And I thought, you know what? I don't believe in coincidences or happenstances, and I believe that that title caught my eye for a reason. And so after looking into it closely and conferring with my pastor, who this book club originally, when it started, it was outside of the umbrella of the church. It was something that I just really felt that I needed to do. And once he heard about it, he was like, hey, come on, put that on under the umbrella. And so we did, and it's just been wonderful. But when I gave him the title, and I was like, look, this book is called Messy People of the Bible. If I were to write a book about people of the Bible, this is what I would write. So I was super excited to see this book, and it deals with both male and female characters in the Bible, people in the Bible. And so I'm just looking forward to looking at their lives and just looking at the redemptive power of God. I believe what happens, and I'm not going to get on the soapbox because we have amazing guest speakers lined up, but you guys know, once I get going, So, you know, we sort of look at people in the Bible, and we put them on pedestals, and we give them this larger-than-life persona. And then when God begins to challenge us to do some of the things that they did, then what we do is we throw up our hands and throw in a towel, and we cry foul because we've given them this larger-than-life persona, and we feel that we don't have the ability to do what they've done because we have made them outside of the scope of being reachable. And so, you know, one of the people that I saw listed was David. And we know that David was a man after God's own heart, but we also know that he was an adulterer, that not only did he commit adultery, he had Bathsheba's husband Uriah murdered. Like, he sent him to the front lines of the war field and had him killed. Like, seriously, that's some Jerry Springer stuff. But yet and still, he understood the forgiveness and the grace of God. And I have to give David credit, because one of the things that I learned from the life of David is that, yes, David had flaws, but David never repeated a sin. It was like he did that thing, and once he realized that it broke God's heart, that it was not pleasing to the Father, and he repented, full on repenting, that he never did that thing again. It doesn't mean that he didn't sin again. It meant that he didn't do that thing again. And so I'm just excited to look at the lives of the people who, Jennifer, I believe, is the author's name. The people that she selected, there are just so many to choose from, but she selected six individuals. And so the first week, we're just going to begin to talk about the overview of the class and what the expectation is, and then we're going to follow up at the end. We'll just do a recap. And so come on out. We begin the classes September the 11th, but we do have a preview of it on September the 4th. And so if you're in the area, please stop by Warwick Assembly of God. That address is 1228 Todd's Lane. So come on in and join us, even if you just want to come see what the book is about, or come hear, you know, what we're going to do. Please come on out. Even if you miss, you know, one or two classes, please still come. I believe that you'll get what is intended for you to get. And I think I've just spoken enough on that, because I can just keep going. So, I'm just going to stop right there. Our scripture verse for this evening is found in Matthew chapter 6. Let's read verses 19 through 23. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." And this is the NIV version. For you guys who are following me, you know my normal go-to translation is the Names of God, and I'm looking at an online version this time. I left my Bible in the other area, and I didn't bring it into the studio with me. But one of the things that just stood out to me here was that it says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." It doesn't say where your heart is, your treasure will be. And so this is letting me know that we have a responsibility to focus on those things that we want to be matters of the heart. We have the ability to determine that. So many times we walk haphazardly through life thinking that, you know, we're just, it's by and by, tiptoeing through the tulips, and it's not that way. You know, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and it's the violent who take it by force. You know, we don't have to go in and fight the battle, but we have to know that we are in a war, and that war that we're in is the war of our faith. God has already won. Jesus has already won. We are already seated with him in heavenly places. We just have to go through the rounds. And so at least go back and read that for yourself. You know what I always say, taking somebody's word for the word is equivalent to you watching somebody eat for you. You may be able to enjoy the moment, but you are not getting any nutritional value. So go back and read chapter 6 for yourself. That's a pretty powerful chapter. And we sometimes just give it to the new babes in Christ just to get them built up. But you know, us old folk need to go back and pay attention to that first as well. Please, we're praying for all the children who are going back to school. We're praying for our teachers, our administrators, the bus drivers, the custodial workers. We're praying for the monitors, the lunch aides. We're just praying for everyone within the educational system that they will be in position to minister to our babies. We're praying that anyone that the enemy has in position that means our babies harm, that nothing that they do will prosper, that every foul intent will fall short. In Jesus' name, we are praying that for our babies. We're praying for wisdom for the school board systems, that they will employ those individuals that will build up our children and not just those who are going to police them. We're praying that the systems will know the power of having counselors and the schools and not just armed officers and the schools. We're asking for wisdom all the way around for our babies. And some of you may be like I am, where your children are grown. My babies are 32 and 30. But you know what? We still have a responsibility to those others. And so please join me in prayer for them. And yes, if you guys hear Hoku behind me, she is in the studio with me. And I can't turn around to see exactly what she's doing, but she's doing something. So we don't have reindeer in the studio with us. That's just plain old Hoku. So we're just going to let her keep doing what she is doing. Happy birthday to all the birthdays since our last airing. We did have a break last week because I was out of the area and could not air, so we were off air last week. So we did miss you guys. So we've got 2 weeks of birthdays to celebrate. So happy birthday to ya! Please continue to send in your hometown hero shout outs, your pastor shout outs, and your teacher shout outs. We will begin those next week. Woo! Wow! I feel like that was a lot. So we are going to go right into our first co-host of the evening. I have two amazing authors lined up for you. First, we have joining us, we have Dr. Watson joining us. And yes, Dr. Watson. Welcome to the show. How are you today? And you know what? I think I can hear you, but do you have us on speaker?
No, I have a headphone.
Because the call is coming in jarbled.
Let me try this
now. No, it still is. So what we're going to do is, guys, thank you guys for still listening in. What we're
going to
do is we're
going to
try. I can, yes. We're going to put on a song until we can get this.
Got you.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. I want to say, first off, thank you for having me on the show today, and I want to let you know that I was truly blessed by your opening segment. I mean, wow, The Messy People. I was thinking of another book offshoot from that, one called Stop Repeating That Thing.
Wow, yes. Now, are you going to write that one, or is that one already written?
That's something I just written down, probably a future project.
Yes. You know, and I'm telling you what, when I first became a Christian, and I've done several shows in the past about my walk prior to Christianity and having come out of what a lot of people would call the cult or just some very stinking denominations. And one of the things that I did when I first got saved was ask God to erase my memory. I literally prayed for spiritual amnesia. And God did that because I had been taught scripture
And, you know, people have a hard time understanding that the enemy knows the word, because we look
right.
at the word as this powerful thing that's outside of the scope of the enemy, but we don't realize he knows it better than we do.
Exactly.
And my knowledge of the word was so corrupt. It was so very corrupt that I prayed for spiritual amnesia, and I could not remember a single verse. And
wow.
I dedicated 3 years to studying God's word day and night. And I asked God, give me the pure, unadulterated version of your word. And he did that. And, you know, of all things that I am thankful for concerning my walk, and I have so much to be thankful for, healing and deliverance and sanctification and all of those things, the single thing that I am the most grateful for is that God heard that prayer early on to give me spiritual amnesia. And so, yeah, so if you're going to write that thing, write that thing. Yes, and I'm going to write the first copy.
Hey, all good, all good. But that, I mean, wow, what you just said, it just spoke volumes, because when you have spiritual amnesia, which that's what you prayed for, you're looking for God to wake you up, to bring you out of it, and to give you that understanding and that peace of the pureness of the word. And that's what so many of us lack. We lack that purity of the word. We want to take it for what we see. We still walk by sight. We want to use it for what we see rather than what we don't see, the bigger picture of things that are happening in the spiritual realm and what God is truly doing. So, I mean, wow, I applaud you, because you said, hey, enough is enough of this. I want what's real, God. I don't want that which was told or that which I had learned on my own. I want that which is directly from you, with the understanding what that you intend for it to be. So that takes a lot, because that's saying that you're denying yourself, taking up your cross, and you're like, God, I'm ready to follow. You know?
Yes. Yes. And the saddest thing that I see, Dr. Watson, is when I see people sitting in church without their Bibles, either in the form of a phone, a tablet, the printed word. When I don't see that in their hands and I see them sitting there just taking for granted what being said, it's just like looking through a window at people eating in a restaurant. You are getting no value from that.
Exactly.
You
exactly.
have to consume that thing.
Exactly, and that is so true, because it's like that we've gotten away of, well, most people who you see, and it's so sad, because you see the older generation still try to hang, you know, we still try to keep the Bible and try to teach other people, hey, have something tangible, but don't just have it for show, have it to read yourself and follow along, because that person up there speaking can be saying anything, so you
Come
need to make
now.
Sure you have to be like
Come
the Bereans. Hey, we know what you said, Paul, but we're going to study this word for ourselves. So that's what you have to be, and that's what we have to teach those who are coming behind us to be. Be Bereans. Be those who are out there studying the word for yourself. Don't just take it because someone is saying it. Okay, what does God say? They're saying it, but what does God say? Like what you just said, the enemy knows the word better than we do.
Come on.
And guess what? The enemy has planted so many pastors in churches these days.
Ooh.
No. You know, so
now,
it's like,
Doctor,
who's
Dr. Watson,
real, who's
you gonna
genuine?
Turn this show into something else. Now we just gonna have to,
Hey, it's all about having that spirit of discernment, of knowing what is of God, what's not of God. You can't just take things at face value. I mean, it's sad, but that's the realism of what God wants us to do. Come to Him, understand who He is, get the genuineness of what He is saying. Stop looking up for the prosperity message, everything is good. Hey, there's more to life than that. There are some things that's going to cause you to go through some trials, and you need to have that peace while you're going through that trial. And you can't have that peace if you're just going off of what the pastor is saying without you having it in your spirit what God has said.
Yes. You know, two things stood out was when Jesus had gone up on the mountain and had fasted and prayed right before the crucifixion, and Satan told him, he said, look out. Look over all the kingdom. All of this was given to me, and it could be yours. And then Jesus told him, and before that, Jesus was just answering him at that point, because he said, if you bow down and worship me, all of this will be yours. Then Jesus told him, get thee behind me, Satan. And what we fail to realize when we get caught up in the prosperity messages that's being told. And we know that it's God's will that we would be blessed, that our soul would prosper,
right,
that we would prosper even as our soul prospers. But there's a contingency to that. It says even as your soul prospers. And
exactly,
we don't want the soul prospering because that's going to take some work. We want that financial prosperity. We want the fame. We want the followers. And we want the finances. But we don't want to go through.
Exactly.
And
you know what? What you just said hit the nail on the head, because how society is set up today is that they view their soul as prospering by them attending church on Sunday. That's it. That's all I need to do is attend church on Sunday, so my soul is prospering. And that's not what it is. This is a daily thing.
No.
It's a daily walk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And it comes out of being obedient. And so that's the part that we miss. And we are mimicking. We mimic what we see other people doing. And we take, going back to where we started, we take for granted this watered down version of the word. And I am always amazed that when I read a verse that I thought that I've known forever, and I read it again, and it could be like one little word, like or but or the, and it completely changes the whole meaning. I'm like, Lord, where did that word come from? Like,
right?
Who stuck that
exactly
in there?
exactly. That is so true. But you know what? That's what you get when you are in prayer to God. That's what you get when you ask Him to reveal things to you. That's what you get when you're ready to grow. You don't want to get stuck on what it meant yesterday. You want to get, you know, you want to move forward into what it means today. What is it setting up for me tomorrow? And I only know if I continue to stay in this thing, you know?
Yes. My niece, who she says that she's my namesake, my middle name and her first name are very similar. And she's part of the younger generation where they're very honest and blunt, and she's got a little potty mouth, a lot like her auntie used to be. And but one thing that she put on her social media a while back, and I had to clean it up so that I can repeat it publicly, but she said, the mess that I tripped over yesterday, I walk right on by today. And I immediately envisioned the Dick Van Dyke Show, where he would come in every single segment and trip over the same
ottoman. Yeah.
And I thought, there are a lot of Christians out there right now tripping over the same ottoman. The same ottoman. You know it's there. It didn't just manifest today. It has been there.
Right.
When are we going to stop tripping over the same ottoman? Some of us, the enemy doesn't even have to work hard. All he's got to do is giving you leftovers.
Exactly.
I don't know where
exactly.
The show is
so true.
We
I know, right? But it's good. But that is so true. That is so true.
Preaching segment.
Look, I know, right? Right? Because when you just said that about the ottoman, I'm thinking to myself, once it happened once, twice, or three times, okay, now we're conditioned already to continue to walk and bump over that thing. We have not, we accepted it for being there. We accepted it. Exactly. Yeah. And it's been accepted. Yeah. So that's okay if we keep falling. So, okay, you have to say enough is enough. And then when you say enough is enough, you have to start recognizing it. And you can only start to recognize it when you open up and allow God to actually live through you, like that's what He wanted to do from the beginning. And you have to allow Him lead. Because when He leads you, you're not going to keep tripping over that same ottoman. He's going to take you around it.
Yes. Or use it for what it's worth. It's an ottoman. Sit down and prop your feet up on it. It was not intended to trip you up. It was intended to give you rest. Now that right there, preach.
There you go. Exactly. Right.
Come on.
Exactly.
You
said he'll make your enemy your footstool.
Footstool. I said once it's time for me to get a pedicure because God about to make some enemies my footstool. I want some.
There you go. Right. There you go. Right.
I tell you now. I am so excited. I had an opportunity, and thank you for catching hold of the vision that God gave me for the book festival and being part of that inaugural event, being part of that seed. being planted, and I know that that's just the beginning of what God is going to do in this area. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. when I first learned of you and your books, I reached out to say, I really want to have you on the show because your books are so unique, and I feel that the messages that you're given is just so appropriate for now. But before we get into that, just tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about yourself. I know that you have some military experience there.
Right.
You've got some mm-hmm. longevity in your marriage. So just give mm-hmm. us some, you know, some highlights on who
gotcha.
Owen Watson is.
All right, gotcha then. Okay, first off, my name is Owen Watson. I am a retired Navy sailor, 29 years of service. Retired back in 2017. I've been an author for 6 years, have 3 books out, and now I'm currently working as a contractor out at Langley Air Force Base. I'm originally from Chicago, spent half of my childhood in growing up in Chicago. The remainder was in Arkansas, Blytheville, Arkansas. And from there, I said, okay, enough is enough. It's time to, I know, right? It's time to move on. And know how you ever been in a place in your life where you look around and you say, okay, this, it has to be more to life than this. That's
yes.
the conclusion I came
yes.
to. And I said, okay, I'm going to the military and find, you know, to find out who I am, what can I do? But during that whole time, and even the time growing up in Chicago and in Arkansas, always been a believer, but haven't been a follower. You know what I mean? A submissive follower
mm-hmm,
of the word,
mm-hmm.
but I've been a believer of the word. I am married to Dr. Ramona Watson. She's a clinical psychologist. Have 2 children. One is my son, who works for a subsidy out in California with Google. And my daughter, or as I say, our daughter, she's in the Air Force and she's over in Korea right now.
Okay.
So,
wow,
yeah, so
wonderful.
That's Owen Watson, yes.
Now, before we even get into your books, what are 3 things that you would tell a young couple that's listening right now that will give them that longevity? My husband and I have been together 38 years. We're coming up on our 37th.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yes. No, 39. Lord have mercy. 39 and coming up on 37th anniversary. I have
right.
to sometimes do the math. What
right,
3 things
right.
would you tell a young person listening that are a must do to have longevity?
Okay, to have longevity, first, the first and foremost thing I would say is stop playing house. Secondly, I would say stop playing house.
Coming in a Honda.
Number two, right? Number two, have a made up mind that we're in this thing for life. And number
yes.
3, always be open and honest with each other. No matter how much it may
yes.
hurt, no matter where it may go,
yeah.
be open
yeah.
and honest with one another. So those are my 3
yeah.
things I would give to the young couples.
And y'all, Dr. Watson rattled those off so fast, so you know he's living it. Because you all know my guests don't get pre-questions. So that right there is coming from the heart. Y'all heard him. Stop playing house. Stop playing house.
It.
Stop playing.
Right.
My grandmama used to say he ain't going to pay for the cow when the milk is free. But Dr.
Exactly.
Dr. Watson say stop playing house.
right. But you know what?
Yes.
We can say what we want about the older people, and they may not have graduated or whatever, but they had so many wise fans that really
yes,
will help
did.
Us go a long way. You know?
Yes. Yes,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. Absolutely. Now,
yep.
tell us a little bit about your book, What Matters Most, Family, Friends,
okay.
and Foes.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay, first off, I have 3 books currently available on Amazon and via my website. The first one is What Matters Most, Family, Friends, and Foes. It's a nonfiction semi-autobiography based on revealing God at work in one's or, you know, in your life. Through the entities of family, friends, and foes. Sometimes we think people are out to get us or that they are out to harm us, and we don't realize that most of those times God is trying to shape, form us, and to push us and press us into who he is and into who we are to be.
Yes.
So that's what
yes.
what matters most is understanding that those family, friends, and including your foes are all a setup for God to set you up to for a makeover.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And then...
And what
and then
prompted
the second
you to
book,
write that?
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Oh, what prompted
what
me to write that?
What prompted you
okay.
to write that?
Gotcha. Okay. But look, because once I get to talking, I can get going. So thanks for controlling this here. So what prompted me to write that was I kept a journal through my life, so I would always write things down that I say, you know what, this can really help someone. So it was back in 2015 when I had written the book, and this is what happened. I'll give you the paraphrase version of it. I took off 1 week to complete my doctorate, to study and catch up on some work, right? So while I was at home, I took off from work. While I was in the military, took a week leave. And it was like God said, no, put the schoolwork down. You're going to do this book. I had no plans of completing or writing that book. I did the whole book within 1 week. Everything written and submitted within a week. And nothing but God is all I can say. So what prompted me to write it was, I believe God had a plan for it to get into someone's hands.
Yeah.
So that's what driven me to write it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And your second book, Poor Man Ain't Got Not Much Say.
Yeah.
That's a unique title. Let's just start with the title of that book.
Right. Joking around with my wife, I always come home and say something like, as we say, countryfied. So I say, babe, poor man ain't got not much say. Right, exactly. Exactly. That's that Arkansas portion. Exactly. I said, poor man ain't, because he said, what you got to say about it one day? And I said, well, poor man ain't got not much say. And I said, you know what? That's a great title. So, but anyway, I got that from Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, where it says, the poor in spirit should, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. So I said, wow, to just translate what that verse really is saying. So that's what the book Poor Man Ain't Got Not Much Say is about. It's pretty much saying at the end, well, I don't want to give the story away, but I will say this right here.
Right.
It's a faith-based fiction story of redemption. So that's what it's about. It's a faith, and it goes into telling why poor man hasn't got much to say. Because kind of something what you related to earlier, where hey, let God fight the battles, but the stories within it are so intriguing, and I haven't got nothing but positive feedback. I'm talking about for people who I don't even know that have purchased the book because friends told other people, and they went and got the book, and they was like, wow, you know, just in awe. And I say, hey, oh God, you know, I try not to keep up with the numbers and with the reviews, but what I have heard was that it really has blessed people.
Yes, yes, love that, love that. And your third book, now, was the third book written out of a personal walk, a personal testimony, or was it written specifically for someone?
It was written out of a personal testimony. I had a friend back in 2014. Well, the guy was my friend since 1992. He said, hey, I want you to come up here and see me. He lived in Portland, Oregon. He was a German guy, but he was in the military with me. His name was Steven Schoenlieber. He said, hey, you need to come up here and see me. And he said, because I have cancer and I'm not, they're not looking at me being around long. I said, man, you'll be okay. I mean, you know what? We prayed about it. You're good to go. Well, I prayed about it because he was an atheist. So I said, we prayed about it, whatever, but we were very good, close friends. So 2 weeks later, I saw the posting on Facebook from his father. And he had mentioned me in the comment, and he said, hey, just to let you know, Stephen passed away. And that hit me hard. So I dedicated a year to writing a poem a day to inspire those who have been going through cancer. And two that I am just nothing but thankful to God for is my mom and sister. God has healed them completely, and they're, cancer survivors. So the book is written to inspire others that are going through cancer or may know someone going through cancer.
Now I want to touch back on something that you said. And his first name is Steven, you said? Steven?
Steven Schoenlieber, uh-huh.
Okay. Now, with him being an atheist and calling out to you just weeks before he died, do you know if ever he came to know the power of God for salvation?
We've discussed it many times. One of his biggest hang-ups, this is one of his biggest hang-ups. His biggest hang-up was that, how is there a God when I prayed to him? We went to church when I was young, and still my mother got cut, got stabbed to death right in front of me when I was 7 years old. So that was his big thing that he, and, you know, we talked about it many times and, tried to explain to him about, God at work. Now, I wasn't there with him on his deathbed. I don't know if, you know, only God knows if he accepted him or whatever. I don't know, but I pray, I, you know, always pray for him. But again, I don't know for a fact. Yeah.
I had an opportunity when you were just saying what you just said. It reminded me of an opportunity that I had prior to my grandfather dying. Whenever we would go home to visit, he was my first stop. My granddaddy was my first stop. And I remember there was one time that we had got, I'm from Ohio, and we had driven the 9 hours. And I felt like we needed to stop right then and there at his home. And it was a little bit later than I normally would have gone. And I told my husband, I said, I have to stop. Not I want to stop. I have to stop. And he's come to know how God operates in my life now to where he doesn't question it anymore. And when we got in, my grandfather, at one point we lived with him, and that's a whole different story, but he was not a very clean person at all. And so when we would go visit, it was never like a sit down and talk or kind of visit. It was always, let me just love on you. I need to see you. I need to hold you. I need to hug you. I need to hear your voice kind of thing. And this particular day, I felt like I needed to go into, like, to get to the restroom, you had to go through his bedroom. And my husband even looked at me, and he was like, you're going to your grandfather's bathroom? Like, do you want it? You on a death wish or something? And right when I walked into the room, there was a young lady there. And she was a young girl. And I walked in, and I saw her, and I said, oh, you're who I need to see. And so I sat down on my grandfather's bed with her and ministered to her and asked, you know, what was she going through? And she had been going through some things, and prayed with her, but told her that I felt that her prayer is going to be her by herself, that I needed to come give her the words to speak to her. And so I left out the bedroom, shut the door, visited with my grandfather some more, left. We were in Ohio for a couple of days. And as we are on our way back here to Virginia, my phone rings, and it's my grandfather. And he says, what happened when you went into my bedroom? And I said, oh, the young lady that was there, I just talked to her. He said, okay. He said, what did you talk about? And I said, well, she had questions about God and salvation. And he said, okay, what did she say? Now, I'm trying to, you know, question in my mind, what did she say? Like, what is she saying? I said, right? You know, because my grandfather has some very suspect people around him. And he says, I just walked into the room, and she's down on her knees with her hands in a prayer position, but she's dead. She passed away. She passed away praying. And that was one of those moments for me. That was just that realization that we are on a mission. We're on a mission personally to speak to people, to be his hands, feet, and mouth, or we're on a mission to write books that individuals will read and then come to know God in a real way. And so do you feel, I know that you're a minister, and I know that you speak the word, but do you feel as well through your written word that that's that legacy that's going to be left for years to come?
Hey, that's exactly what I feel. That's exactly what I know, because first off, everything that I write, I'm actually praying on it, for it, and letting God do the writing through me on the paper, you know. So even with the book about the cancer, every poem was written through prayer. And it was like, and I was like, okay, that was me. Let me throw that away. Okay, that's God. Yeah. That was me. Throw that away, because that was just me saying, trying to be you know, good with words or whatever. Let me throw that away. God, what is it that you want to be written? So, yes, that's exactly what I want to do. And I'm like, you know, for me, for the most part, it's like, I don't care about the numbers. Don't, you know, if something sells, it sells or whatever. Okay, but bottom line is, did they get the message? It's the message getting out there. It's the word getting out there. And that's what I want. I want people, when they read it, to impact them in their spirit, to give them some kind of inquisitiveness within to say, you know what, I need to go learn or find out who this God is, because that's what all of the books about. All of them are faith-based about God at work. And that's what I believe we are desperately in need of doing, is to leave a legacy that points to God rather than pointing to us, to say that we were this good person, because we're nothing. It's all about God. There's only one, like just like Jesus said, don't call me good. The one that's good is the Father. That's the only one that's good.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolutely. And I love that. And I love that you say you don't get caught up in the numbers. And for those who are listening and you're not an author or know someone who is an author, you just don't understand the trials and the challenge of making sure that you don't get caught up in the whole commercializing of it. And don't get us wrong, you do write because it is a means of income and it is residual income, and it can become a true legacy that it's bringing in income for generations upon generations. But if that's your focus, and I say this to my husband, I said, how sad is it for individuals that their only motivation is money? Like, that must be such a empty life that money is only motivation. It doesn't mean that money won't follow. But
exactly.
Only motivation?
Right.
That's
right.
It? Money?
Right.
Like, money in and of itself brings nothing. It's the relationships that bring the happiness. And so,
and
how difficult is it for you to, like, not get caught up in that part of it?
For me, I look at it like if someone going for a pro sport team. First off, the percentage is very small. And the ones who do get selected, they're getting selected not based because they need or want the money. They're getting selected because they were qualified for those positions.
Good.
They did more. They were not focused on the money. They were focused on doing what they had to do to get there. And that's how I feel when I write. That's how I feel when I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing, speaking for God or whatever. Is I'm not doing it for the accolades of what I can get out of it, but it's something like Paul said, hey, woe unto me if I don't do it. And that's how I feel.
Yes. Like it's shut up in your bones. You
know?
Like it's words that shut up in your bones.
Exactly.
You have to
get it out.
I love that. Now, where are
true.
The listeners able to follow you and to get more information about you?
Okay, they can go to my website, which is at www.authorowenwatson.com. Made it very simple, authorowenwatson.com. Or they can go to my Facebook page, at, turn the page at Author Owen Watson. Again, very simple, Author Owen Watson.
Wonderful,
and
wonderful. Anything new coming up?
You want to hear about what's new coming up? I will give that to you right quick.
Of course.
The new project
I
have.
Scoop.
The new project I have for you is, get this right here, Betting on Me, a Revelatory Concept for Success. So that's the title of the book, Betting on Me. And what it entails is responsibility being in your hands for succeeding. And what I mean by that, again, remember, you always have to center back to God. So it goes back to who's leading you. So you have to bet on you. So the odds are in your favor. When you know who and whose you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
And your target audience, is your audience male and female?
Oh, yeah. Majority, there have, of course, because females read the most, but majority have been females, definitely. The males, of course, there are males for both of the books, but with the poem book, I have had a tremendous amount of success with the females. Love the poetry book. The Poe Man, tons of guys. Tons of guys dig the Poe Man.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
for sure. Good stuff. Any thought of writing for children in your future?
I plan on crossing whatever genre God lay on my heart to do. And believe it or not, I think I even put it on my website. My intentions are to do 4 children books before October of next year. So, yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I do a workshop called Picture This, and it's a children's writing workshop. And so I'll let you know the next time that we have one. It's just a very low fee of $25, and it's 4 hours of packed information. It's so much information that I actually get everything to the attendees when they leave. So they get copies of all of the information, the material, my slides. And initially when I started passing out the slides, my husband was like, you know, you're giving away your income, you know. And I said, no, what I'm giving them is empowerment so that they can ensure that when they do create books, they're creating the best book possible. Because that seems to be one of the hindrances for us. We have this calling of God. We have this knowledge in us, but then we don't know what's required to do it. And so because of that, we end up sometimes creating less effective books or poorly designed, poorly written books. And so that's why I started that.
Great, great. I will definitely take you up on that.
Yes. What words of encouragement, right before we let you go, what words of encouragement would you have for a male who's, you know, he's been filling this pool in God to write poetry, or maybe for whatever reason, societal thoughts about, you know, writing for men or any of those things, or maybe some insecurities that they may have in terms of putting themselves out there? Because people don't know. A lot of people would rather run naked through Central Park than write and publish a book. Because you're being totally exposed when you put a book out and it's published. So what words of encouragement would you have for a young male who's filling that pool to write, but
for,
beyond not knowing the process, they haven't yet stepped out of that comfort zone?
Right. As a matter of fact, there's a young Air Force captain who, young guy, just came to me and he's looking at writing a book. And he was like, hey, how do I get started? What do I do? Because I'm kind of afraid of putting myself out there, like what you just said, exactly.
Yep.
And I said, well, first off, I said, coming from a Christian perspective, from a follower of Christ, I would say pray first and see if that's what really what God would have you to do. Secondly, don't look at it that you just want to expose feelings. Look at it that you want to bless hearts, that you want to bless souls, that you want to, you know, use it as an instrument to point others to Christ. And then thirdly, what I told him was, it's going to take time. You don't just jump into it and you know, garbage in, garbage out, you know, quick. That's when you do it quick. I said, take your time. Let everything occur in its proper season. Do not rush it. Just, I said, even if it's one sentence a day, by the end of the year, you've got probably around 15 pages. Take your time.
Yes.
So that so that's my encouragement words that I would give to them. Take your time, allow God to lead, and do what God has called you to do in the writing. Don't just, you know, just be putting something out there. Hey, this right here sounds like a good episode for a movie. No, come on, let's put perspectives in, you know, in check here. So make sure you have your perspectives lined up correctly.
Yes, absolutely. And in this era in which anybody can publish, period. You know, at the event we had little Lee Deer, who's 4 years old, a published author and owner of a nonprofit. And people, you know, really need to understand that you do have to put in the effort. It's so easy to see your name on a cover, but the question is, what's the quality within the book? And we want to make sure, especially as Blacks, that we are creating positive quality works of literature. So thank you so much for that. This is wonderful.
No problem.
Now, anything that I failed to ask that you wanted to touch on? We just kind of took off running down the Bible. That
I know, right? It's been great. I have really enjoyed this. One thing I want to say before we before I leave the air here is thank you. Thank you for following the vision that God has given you, for humbling yourself, for putting yourself behind so that God's vision can come to fruition and forward in front. So thank you for listening. Thank you for following him. Thank you for bringing it together. I know it was God that touched the hearts and brought the people together, but he used you. And I thank you for that, because the opportunity that you provided so many people, I mean, you have touched 200 people I mean, well, not 200, but the hundreds of people. Let me just say it like that. You touch hundreds of people over this past fest, and then they're going out telling other people. And the thing is, that's going to steady grow. Just like you said, you don't know what God is doing, but you know he's doing something. But thank you for humbling yourself to allow him to lead, because tremendous things, great things, you know, it's just going to happen, and it's all going to be to his glory. So thank you.
Thank you so much for that. And I received that. I do indeed. I tell people I'm just ignorant enough to take God at his word. And
there
one day I'm going to write that book. I mean, ignorant. That's an Arkansas word. I've never been.
It is.
Arkansas.
It is. I joke with my wife about that word all the time.
Ignorant. Ignorant. Ignorant.
Exactly.
I-G-N-I-T. Ignorant.
Right?
I'm just ignorant enough to take
there you
God
go.
At
there
his
you
word.
Go. Right.
Because I feel like,
I like that.
Success or failure is on him. I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to produce an outcome. I just have
there
to
you
be
go.
Obedient.
There you go. Exactly. Right. I love it.
Yes.
I love it, Megan.
Yes.
That's that Jeremiah and Ezekiel spirit right there.
Come on, right? Yep.
Yes,
yep,
it is.
Yep. I can hear mm-hmm. Jeremiah now going, "That's my girl right there."
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So true.
Yes.
So true.
Yes. Well, thank you so very much, Dr. Watson. First of all, thank you for your patience and navigating with me to get coordinated to have you on the air. And thank you for spending your evening with us. I know this is your family time. And so please tell your family, thank you so much. Your wife, thank you for sharing you with us this evening. I look forward to having you at all of our future events and getting to know more about you and Dr. Ramona. And we're just going to go from there. So you have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
Same to you, and thanks again. God bless you and your family.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, guys. Wow, what powerful information. Powerful indeed. You all heard about longevity in marriages. We talked about your spiritual walk. We talked about how to get some spiritual growth in there. We talked about Dr. Watson's three books and the things that he has coming up. We talked about that desire for him to have children's books written. And so we just learned so much about him and the work that he's doing. He gave his website as drowenwatson.com. So please go to his website and look up his book and buy copies for yourself as well as for others. And so as we wait for our next co-host to join us here in the studio, it's been a while since I played my walk-on song. And for anybody who's not yet familiar with it, that's Munchies for Your Mind. That's my walk-on song. So we're just going to play a few minutes of Munchies for Your Mind until we get our next co-host to join us here in the studio. And that's going to be Mr. Pancho Rucker. He began his career actually writing R&B and promoting for local artists. And then he began to spread his wings and try different fields of creativity with his main objective of helping people at the forefront of that agenda. Pancho began to test his writing skills in the literacy world with his Note to Self series. He continued with two best-selling books, While We're Young and his children's book. The first of the children's book is the BB book series. That's Clean Up BB. And BB and Pinky have made a huge mess in there, and that's just such a cute little children's book about learning how to clean up after we make a mess. That's that second time that we've heard that word, mess, come on. Also, what it does is it helps them clean up and teaches them how to count by counting the things that are on their floor. This book is a labor of love for him. His daughter also joined in and helped him to complete the book by doing all the colors and helping him with the counting aspects of the book. Then he created He says that he created his children's books as a way to help his own children learn through the innovative medium of books. And his next book is Chin Up, Chest Out. I actually just saw a video of the Chin Up, Chest Out and posted it on one of my Facebook pages. In this book, this is where Bougie and his notebook adventures are, and we find out all the things that make him special. This book focuses on self-confidence, and he is proving that there is nothing that he cannot do. So until we can get author Rucker to join us here at the studio, we're going to listen to my song, Munchies for Your Mind, and you're listening to Florenza with Worst Upon.
You are now rocking with someone who's extraordinary, who's legendary, who's visionary. So I'm going to need you to get on your feet, put your hands together, and make some noise for none other than Florenza Denise Lee. Look through the cookbook to the gold found. Went straight to the lab, made some gold crowns. Bought just enough for the go around. So while I'm on the stage, put your phone down. If you want the dollars, that ain't for free. You either must listen to pay the fee. To catch you a mouse, gotta get the cheese. So open your mouth and get some of this. The chef in the kitchen cooking the munchies to bring back attention from over yonder. I run in like Tyler, but we ain't nowhere near Wakanda. Give you some words to ponder. We out in this jungle full of concrete. Going so hard to the mission complete. All the life in the wild is spinning sound pee. Cause I'm ringing the bell, yelling time to eat. The wolves was howling, creepies was prowling, government wilding, predator prowling, out on the island, stomachs was growling, my number they dialing, y'all know who it is, since I came bow out, I straight bowed in, I meditated like Shaolin, can't feed the whole world on the straight south end. I got them munchies for your mind,
gotta let them eat, yeah.
But when you hungry on your grind,
gotta let them eat so hard,
cause later you go find dime,
gotta let them eat, yeah.
If you don't feed yourself to shine, that would be a crime, so I got them munchies for
eat.
Your mind.
People suffer, my people hunger.
Yeah.
I come to bring them above and not under. We are what we eat, we can't put us under.
Yeah.
Out of my belly come lightning and thunder. The warrior in me is screaming conquer.
Yeah.
Start up by busting later on, I ponder. Unshackled from poverty, straight up sconder. Host of the weapons, jump in the bomber.
Seek and destroy anything.
Seek and sting and destroy.
We can let anything.
We cannot join.
What you mean?
We are defeated like boys.
Too hard.
So them things bouncing with both feet. Hit them with a 24 piece.
Yeah.
Season with smoke, so it whole heat.
This ain't a combo with
the whole beat. It's already real. We ain't gotta brag, throw up the banner, we ain't gotta flag.
Nah.
I take victory for the body, come against it, took out like a doggy bat.
Yeah.
I see we winning if you can't tell. I got some glasses for your brain cells. Long as you rock them, you can't sell.
I got them munchies for your mind.
Let them eat, yeah.
But when you hungry on your grind,
gotta let them eat so hard.
Cause later you go find dime.
Gotta let them eat, yeah.
If you don't feed yourself to shine, that would be a crime. So I got
gotta
them munchies for
eat.
Your mind.
Yeah.
Topping up with them biscuits.
Yeah.
Finger licking nutrition.
So hot.
That's the way we do dishes.
Oh, wow.
Crunching munch on the words in a breakfast lunch.
Shoot it up and then I break it down the way I can't get understand it.
Breathe munch. Please believe me, I do this morning, noon, and evening. Little Caesars, meaning you need me to come and get at me. I stay hot and ready, pizza, pizza. That's cause I'm constantly whipping up. Everything made to order, I'm fixing up. Filling up ramekins with my dripping cup. Time to hustle, my business is picking up. No giving up, I'm a detail, I'm up. Since I work for myself, this is living it up. My receipt paper, I'm printing it up. That's why my bank account is like big as a mug. We shouldn't fight on empty bellies. If your mind was a stomach, is it full of burly? Is you really wide awake or almost there? Cause the early bird get it, get up early. This is that rap to life. Fire tame from going so hard afterlife. Who got an appetite? I learned from trap life. Eat like a bear, so I'm good in the afterlife. Prep it, plate it, run it out to the table. Say your blessing, cause you know that he able. Feather and charm is the way I was raised to.
I got them munchies for your mind.
Gotta let them eat, yeah.
But when you hungry on your grind,
gotta let them eat so hard.
Cause later you go find dime.
Let them eat, yeah.
If you don't feed yourself to shine, that would be a crime. So I got
gotta
them munchies for
eat.
Your mind.
Strength and drink is delicious.
Yeah.
Top it up with them biscuits.
Yeah.
Finger licking nutrition.
So hot.
That's the way we do dishes.
Oh,
wow.
Crunching munch on the words in a breakfast lunch.
Shoot it up and then I break it down the way a king can understand it.
Brady Bunch.
Yeah. Oh, you guys know. Boom. Y'all know I love that song, not just because it's about me. Well, kind of, sort of, because it's about me, but also that is dope. Oh, my gosh. I love that song. I love the beat. I love the words. Oh, yes. Devin, through it all, walls, created that for me, and I just love it. And so if you've not yet seen the little video that I put together with it, it is on my Facebook page. We are actually in the process of creating an actual video for it. I do own the rights to that song, so you are able to share it. You can find it on SoundCloud as well. So please start playing that and pass that song around. Yes, I love it. And I did say Devin's name wrong. It's Devin. Oh, my gosh. Why is my brain just not every time? Woo! It's Devin Every Time Walls. Devin Every Time Walls. Yes, he actually wrote and composed that for me. And I love it. So I do want to say that Pancho Rucker will not be able to join us in the studio today. There was just a misunderstanding between our studio manager and his coordinators. He thought that we were on Central Time and we're Eastern. So we are going to have him join us next week or the week after. So I will be certain to make sure that I post that information for you. So thank you all so very much for joining me here. I look forward to having you all join me next week. And I am looking at the calendar here in the studio to see who we will be having join us next week, so I can give you just an update. And let's see, I don't have that here. And that's following Labor Day. So we'll play that by ear and see, double check to see who we'll have here and let you know if we need to adjust those times. So please continue to share the link of the show with your friends, your families, your followers. Let's get the word out for all these amazing guest speakers that we have and our co-hosts. And guys, I look forward to seeing you all next week. Have a fantastic week.